It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
We are assembling the roundtable right now here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Joining us from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Doug Deacon. They will be here momentarily. And the roundtable is brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. You can check out the delicious details at samanddaves.com. And listen, this is their famous Main Event Lobster Celebration going on now through Thanksgiving. Stop in on Sunday and get $15 off the delicious New England Lobster Bake. Sam and Dave's is open every Sunday at 1, but you better make your reservations now. Why? Because it was again voted the West Side's best seafood restaurant and best happy hour by West Shore Magazine. And remember about late night happy hour every Friday night with half price food off the entire bar menu. It's the perfect place to stop after watching some Friday Night Lights high school football.
We've had that lobster bake.
I want to have it again.
Serious thing with this lobster bisque, and you got to have a little of that on the side, and the chicken and the lobster, gigantic lobster,
clams.
Phenomenal stuff. And for that price, and I've seen it at other places, man, that's pretty darn reasonable.
It's ridiculous.
Amazing. Yeah,
it is a great deal. And speaking of great, we have the great voices of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Doug Deacon, Jim Donovan in the house here for the round table.
Thank you, Nathan. And Notorious.
That's right. The Notorious one getting a shout out from Mr. Donovan.
Thank you, Jim.
Yes. So here the Browns are.
That's growing on me.
It is. It's growing. It's good. Browns 3-3. All this Brandon Whedon talk. Now the Josh Gordon, we've heard about him, and I thought Josh Gordon had a very businesslike attitude and a very mature response and perspective on these trade rumors and how they've affected him. I don't know if you've been able to hear that sound yet from Josh, but I was pretty impressed with what I heard from Josh Gordon.
Well, I think, you know, Josh has obviously gone through a lot, and that's just talking about what has happened this year. And I think that you're right. I think that he realizes very quickly that this is a business, and he's part of the business, and he may be an attractive part of the business, you know, for somebody else in the NFL if that ever came to be. But, you know, hopefully, I think all he can take care of right now is he can't dispel any rumors. I think he can just go out and play. But the very fact that everybody recognizes that he's a very special talent will constantly have him probably in the midst of these kind of talks.
He sees the reality of the situation, Doug, which includes the fact that the trading deadline, which used to be week 6, is now week 8 in the NFL. I thought a great move by the league, because by moving it to midseason, you've got more defined sense of where you are as a team to make certain moves, what your health situation is, if you got to plug some holes, which is usually what prompts these trades. You want that piece that'll put you over the top. But here's what I'm wondering about from you, because there's two ways to look at this. Well, at least two ways that I'm looking at it. The one I hope the Browns aren't looking at is that if by midseason they see themselves as a team not headed to the playoffs, and people would probably conclude that right now, and especially in light of what happened Sunday, and then looking at the difficult games ahead, which you still got to play, but let's go with the scenario that midseason looks pretty bleak for the team. Is that enough reason to make a move like this? And I say no, because I think you value Gordon as a building block for all these assets that you want to have for the future. What say you on that?
I agree. I think, you know, regardless if you stay with the quarterback, you get a new quarterback, he's got to have a receiver. And you're not going to find many receivers that can do the things that he does. I mean, he's a top 10 receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
So you've got to really look at that aspect and what he brings to the table and how much he could help the development of a quarterback. You know, you take him away from our offense, you know, it's all of a sudden the field shrinks on you.
It shrinks on you in a hurry. And to me, the record of the Browns in 2013 should be absolutely irrelevant when you're thinking about what this organization wants to accomplish long term.
You know, the only thing is, though, is that you always wonder what positions do they value? You know, and I go by positions, not people. But, you know, obviously the running back position, as we found out a few weeks ago, is something that, you know, is not high on the list of value.
Correct.
You know, the quarterback seems like, because the running back wasn't of great value, but he might be able to get you, you know, help at that position. I think the quarterback position obviously is way up there, and we're probably going to see it lead to, you know, somebody coming in here at a very high point in the draft, wherever they are in the draft. You know, but what position is value? Because this guy is a very special talent at his position at wide receiver. Can you just go out there and string together three guys that have pretty good hands, like Chris Durham? You know, a guy like that that had a big game last week. Can you put three of those guys out there and maybe a really good tight end like what New England is trying to do right now, but you have a very special quarterback, and can you do it that way? Or do you have a very unique talent like this guy has, and do you just say, hey, listen, he's untouchable?
Well, you know, he has the talent, but the other part of it is he hasn't played a lot of football.
Right.
So, he, you know, there's a bigger upside yet to come.
Yeah, agreed.
And the only other factor, and I said there were two things, the other thing is the deep, dark secret factor is the way I put it. If none of us knows how close something could be to happening with him being suspended, if that in fact is even out there, and if that is what is guiding this team. Now, for the record, Joe Banner has said in pretty emphatically most recently that they're not shopping Josh Gordon. Now, I'm not going to play a semantical game that just because they're not shopping him doesn't mean they can't trade him. Of course, we know that.
I mean, that could happen in 5 minutes.
It could still,
right?
Exactly. But let's go by that it's not an active shopping thing. But the deep, dark secret factor is now the risk factor. Is the risk, and Nathan and I have gone over this, that we think the risk is worth, the reward that could come from sticking with him is worth the risk.
Absolutely. I definitely think it's worth the risk. And it's everything you guys talked about. This guy is an elite talent. I know wide receiver is a very valued position in the NFL. You talked about Chris Durham. He had 8 catches for 83 yards because, in large part, the Calvin Johnson played. The game Calvin didn't play, he had 39 yards. So having that dominant receiver changes everything schematically for a team. As Doug pointed out, opens up the defense. So, yes, to me, keeping Josh Gordon here as one of the building blocks and keeping him out of trouble should be one of the biggest priorities of this organization at this point.
Well, I mean, and the other thing is, I mean, you know, you talk about Calvin Johnson, the very fact that the guy just put his toes out on the field last Sunday.
Changes everything.
It changed everything, and it allowed other people to get involved because you always had to, you know, is he going to bust out right now? I mean, are they going to go to him right now? And I'm not saying Gordon's there yet, but he is our Calvin Johnson.
He is.
Right. You know, he is our guy.
But Cheryl and Jim Donovan have an extra bedroom, and they have decided that they're going to welcome him in and foster him as a child. And
I like it.
For a very reasonable rate.
Right. You know.
Yeah, that would be a good process.
I mean, cleaning? Right after bed and breakfast season, we're open.
How's he cleaning stables?
Yeah, you got the horses.
Well, he was down there. Wasn't he in Baylor and all that? Those kind of places. Sure.
Now, let me ask you this, Doug, because not that we're shifting gears, but I mean, it's all related. With regard to the whole Brandon Whedon story and situation and how delicate the psyche might be of this football team, do you have some concern? I do, that this thing gets pounded around so much. He gets beaten up so much from a public, from a media, from a fan standpoint, that it now starts to seep in beyond him, and that the rest of the team, the players on the rest of the team, start to get fixated on this whole idea that, you know what, he's struggling. Nobody likes him in this town. What do we need to do? We've got our out now if we're less than great.
I haven't seen that with the guys in this locker room. I mean, we saw what Joe Thomas said yesterday, and I think Joe was very positive in it. You know, you can't control what everybody's going to think, but you can evaluate how everybody's going to play. And if some guy, you know, starts to, you know, he's hurting himself. He's not hurting the football team because his next paycheck is all going to be contingent on how he performs this year.
But, you know, and I think his psyche is one thing. But, Jim, I look at it that I hope the second half of this Detroit game wasn't reflective of what it could have been, which is a complete letdown by a team, because I think a lot of people have jumped to the conclusion that the rest of the team said, this season's over with this guy. We had Brian Hoyer in here. We don't really have anyone else in here. And just the stark contrast of half one to half two in that game left that question on the table. You know it because that's been asked quite a bit by the media this week.
Oh, yeah. No question about it, Vic. I mean, he is at a point where, I mean, he can control so much of it himself by just going out and playing well. I mean, look at the guy they're going to play against Sunday. He had to go out and he had to replace Brett Favre. Okay, and it didn't go... you know, swimmingly well right away. I mean, every time he played in the preseason when Favre had left, Rodgers was being, you know, dissected and everything, but he fought through it. I mean, Brady had to replace Bledsoe, and Bledsoe was pretty good. I mean, you know, they were pretty good at that time. I mean, you know, and he went in there and he did it. So Brandon's got to do this. I mean, you know, if he's going to get to what he truly wants to do, be a quarterback here or perhaps somewhere else, you know, down the road, he's going to have to fight through this thing. But, I mean, these other guys are going to have to do something to it. If they look at it and they say, hey, listen, maybe he is not ready right now to take us all the way to where we got to go, well, then it's got to be the Joe Haydens, and it's got to be Joe Thomas, and it's got to be DeQuell Jackson, and it's got to be some of these other guys. And Gordon's not too young to do it himself because he's got very special talent. But you're right, they are at a critical point right now. I mean, it's amazing how fragile this thing looked Sunday afternoon, you know, in the middle of that fourth quarter when that lead was gone and first downs and yards were at a premium for the Browns.
And you, go ahead.
You're talking about half one, half two, but there was also half one, half two for the defense. We can't let everybody off the hook.
Well, that's that's what I meant. Right, I precisely meant the defense.
I don't think you. I think you got to put it on everybody here that you know somebody's got to step up and win the game, because I think that game Sunday, even this Sunday, because of the physical situation that the Packers are in, the game is going to be hanging there. Probably. I mean, they all are. Last Sunday's game was hanging there, too. Somebody's got to do something.
Yeah, I mean, in this
and you got to put behind you. And it ain't going to be Brian Hoyer, I mean, you know, because he's not here.
That's right.
We, you know, we had the 170-some yards by Benjamin. We got nothing this last week. So, I mean, there's going to be – everybody's going to have their shortcomings during the course. And, you know, for Brandon Whedon, it all goes down to one play. But, you know, he's given up a home run ball before. So, you know, he should be strong enough to carry on.
And I think he is. I think he can show the resolve because it's in him. The first half was great. He was very solid.
Well, the second quarter.
The second quarter was good. Yes. The second quarter was it was good. But as a team, they played well. And, you know, Ray Horton was talking today about the defense, which you guys are bringing up, and saying, yes, we're number one in the NFL in yards per play at 4.4, but we're playing so many snaps. The easiest way to not play a lot of snaps on defense is to get off the field on third down. Yeah. And right now, 44% conversion, they're allowing fourth lowest in the NFL. They've got to do their part to get off the field. Brandon Whedon and this offense and the playmakers, Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron. We need Devon Best to step up. Greg Little needs to step up. Take some pressure off, make some plays, and keep things going on the offensive side of the ball. It's a great point, Jim. It's a great point.
Yeah, but you know the thing is, Nathan, there was a point in the second quarter in the game Sunday that, and you could feel it, Doug, and I remember saying, I mean, you can really feel it. Everything worked. There was a point. I mean, everything worked. I mean, Marquise Gray gets in there. That play works. The reverse to Benjamin, that thing works. Whedon throwing the ball around, that was working. Everything was working. And then it totally shut down. Again, you could feel it, though.
You could feel it in the stadium,
didn't you? I mean, I remember turning to Doug and saying, boy, this has got a bad feel to it after those first two possessions.
And you could feel it through the screen. I was watching the game on my iPad, and you could feel it through the screen. And I thought when they got the Tayshaun Gibson interception in the end zone, I said, that's the break.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that can send the time. Then they gave the ball right back.
And see, you got to fight through that. I mean, something has to happen. You're right. I thought the Gibson interception would turn it around, but something's got to happen there to fight through this. Period, as Ray Horton said today, we just don't finish. And I would say it's not just his defense,
but it's the offense too.
This is the roundtable that we've got together. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns and the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Of course, Doug Deacon, his partner in the radio booth. It's brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Check out the delicious details at samanddaves.com. All right, we brought up a couple of other names on offense that we want to see in this mix, have to be in this mix if this thing is going to get better. And yeah, you could say it still starts with the quarterback. It does. But we need to see more, and we're going to hear from him a little later, more of Devon Best as a factor as a slot receiver. So far, that has not been what we were hoping it to be.
Yeah, I agree.
And Jordan Cameron, another interior type of target, these last two games has been less of a factor. And you start to see some things that I've noticed where it's just not as much of his ability to kind of get open underneath. He's got to help his quarterback a little more, whoever that is. It's Brandon Whedon, but he's got to do more to help that. What are your thoughts, guys, Doug, on just those two interior targets being bigger factors going forward?
Well, I think, you know, definitely. And we watch, you know, Matt Stafford, and we're going to watch Aaron Rodgers this week, and you've basically got an offensive coordinator out on the field.
Yep.
And, you know, we talked about Durham, the wide receiver being involved. I mean, Stafford just, you know, caught it and flinged it. And you know, if that's what the way he's going to have to be able to do it, and by design, you know, read the defense, and as soon as you catch the ball, that ball's gone. I mean, but by the same token, these guys have to beat the coverage too to get open. But I mean, at some point, we've got to find a way to get the quarterback into a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And I think the way you do it is involve the people around. And yeah, we've got to get Best involved. And we got to get Cameron involved earlier in the game, not when it's, you know,
it's over
and everything's a soft coverage.
Agreed. And to talk about Best, the thing that's interesting to me is that he is getting open at times, but he's dropping the ball a lot.
He drops typically early.
Yeah,
against Buffalo.
That wasn't his rep in Miami.
No, I was gonna throw out the numbers. In 2010, he caught 80 passes. He dropped 6. In 2011, he caught 51 passes. He dropped 5. Last year in 2012, he caught 61 passes and dropped 8. This year with the Cleveland Browns in only 6 games, he's caught 23 and already dropped 6. So he's dropped as many in 6 weeks as he did in all of 2011 and all of 2010. That is uncharacteristic of Devon Bess.
That's uncharacteristic of him, but we've seen a lot of other receivers too. Yeah. Go through.
No, it's kind of uncharacteristic of a Browns
but
receiving
corps. I will tell you this, leading to that point is this, that you know, his drops have come early, I've thought, in games when you're trying to get that rhythm that you're talking about, and they, you know, boom. I mean, that's it. They don't get it to them, and they drop. I mean, you know.
And I go.
Gordon's had a couple of drops early.
Yeah, he has. I mean, a couple of big drops.
Yeah, against Buffalo.
Could have been home runs. I go back to the opening game against Miami, and I was watching them warm up, and they're just, you know, nobody's covering them, and they're dropping Whedon's passes, and I'm thinking, what's that going to do to the psychic of the quarterback if nobody's covering you and you're dropping them?
Yeah.
So, from a defensive standpoint, the best news of the week, Jabal Sheard back practicing.
I think that's huge.
Welcome.
Isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
He's going to play
Massive.
Sunday. This team has truly missed him these last couple
of years. Oh, I think so. I think he might have been playing as well as anybody on that defense at the time that he got hurt.
Yeah.
I think that it will. I think it helps other people. I think it will help Kruger. Okay, who I think is in a little bit of a funk right now. I mean, you know, and
one
people,
sack and six
one
games.
Sack, and I think Ray Horton pointed out that he's playing probably more than what they anticipated, even though that, you know, he was going to have a bigger chunk of playing time than he did in Baltimore. But, you know, I think they really missed Sheard. I think Sheard really adapted very quickly to what this new defense offered to him.
And he's kind of the total package in regards to, he's not just speed, he's not just power.
Yeah.
He can do both, and I think, you know, that's something, you know, we're seeing, you know, Mingo, they got him on tape for 3 games. You get a read on what he's doing. Okay, he's got to come up with some secondary move or third move or something like that. Kruger is, you know, he's a guy that sets the edge pretty good, and he's a grabber and a puller, but he's more of a collapse the pocket than he is just beat you flat out.
Explain from the offensive line perspective about the reads that you can get on a guy like Mingo.
Well, yeah, you see, you know, he's basically going to beat you on the edge. So, you know, you set a little softer and you just run him around the corner. And, you know, but a guy that's been experienced at it, he's going to, you know, do the same thing, show you the speed. And then as soon as you get back on your heels, he's going to come in with a power rush. I mean, Freeney used to be great at that in Indianapolis when he was there. You know, he'd get the tackle, you know, flying off the ball to try to, you know, get to that point on the edge when you're going around the corner. And then all of a sudden he'd come with that bull rush, and then, you know, he's driving you back.
But they only won one Super Bowl with him.
Oh.
Okay, Jim.
Thank you, Jimmy.
They didn't have the talent there.
Wow.
Jabal Sheard is right now, I'd say, one of the best outside linebackers in the league. So forget defense on this team. He can cover. He can get to the quarterback in terms of pass rushing productivity. He's third or fourth in the NFL, 16% in terms of, you know, his hurries, his hits, his sacks, all put together in the formula used to derive that. So he does everything for this team. Yes. And he's the guy who stood out the most in camp to me. He was dominant at all phases and at all times, and getting him back, I think, is certainly a massive, massive upgrade for this team.
I agree with you on that. I think they've really missed him. The other thing is, in this new NFL of just taking that ball and throwing that bubble screen out to those wide receivers,
you got
to
get
a hand up there, and I think he, you know, even when he was in the 4-3, he played very well on that end, and he got his hands on a lot of balls and knocked them down. I mean, I think he's very athletic, but boy, I tell you what, seeing him back there on the field Sunday is going to be a great sight.
I think so, too. Guys, tremendous. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Love the roundtable.
See you both in Green Bay. And that was our roundtable. It was brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Maine Lobster Event Celebration. Again, samanddaves.com to check out all the delicious details. It was Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon. We've got more coming up for you. We're going to get a Packer perspective from Pete Doherty from the Green Bay Press Gazette. That's next on CBD, ESPN 850, WKNR.